Hey guys, today we were talking about celebrating the resurrection part two. I want to continue our conversation and hash out more of just the amazing and beautiful good gifts that God has given us and how we can enjoy them and just highlight some of the things that God's given us. And I know this isn't going to be for every single person, but looking at the situation that you're in, there God is always gracious and he's merciful, and like everything above the grave is grace. And so whether we have breath in our lungs or wherever we're at, like God is good all the time. And I want to just talk about just some of the things and help you guys and help myself just remind myself of that the life of a follower of Jesus isn't meant to be lived in a segregated part of life. You're not supposed to just worship Jesus on a Sunday or in a small group. Worship is to encompass all of life. And something that I really appreciate about Christ Church in Moscow, Doug Wilson's church, is that their slogan is "All of Christ for all of life," I believe. And that is, I mean, that's essentially what I kind of want to talk about today is how do we see Jesus in everything and everything that he gives us, everything that we enjoy. In my one of my first podcasts on beauty, I talk about that all beauty is a reflection of God's beauty. And so when we enjoy something, we can see that it is meant to point us to him, that it isn't supposed to cave in on ourselves. We weren't made for these external things. We were made to know God. We were made for God and for his glory. And so when it comes to enjoying his gifts, the gifts that God's given us are meant to be enjoyed for his glory, as 1 Corinthians talks about, that whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, do all in the name of the Lord, do all for his glory. And so let's just start off with, so like beauty, I was talking about beauty. This is David's, one of his main prayers in the psalm. In one of the Psalms, and he says, my one desire is to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to dwell, to meditate in his temple. And so, is that our main goal? Is that our main goal? Like, God, I want to see, I want to enjoy, I want to like see your beauty. And the thing is like we're all beauty junkies. We're all craving beauty, whether we like it or not. I mean, whether we're going to a concert or whether we're going to a favorite restaurant, or whether we're with a specific person, or whether we're like we crave happiness, we crave beauty. And this is something that's actually good, and that God has given everyone this desire. And the question is what are we going to do with that desire? And is it going to fuel our love for Jesus, or is it going to be fueled for a love for ourself? And one of the part of so like the in the Divine Comedy, the way that Dante describes love or describes sin is actually disordered love. And so what sin is you're basically loving something too much. You're loving something that shouldn't be loved to that extent. And so we can either enjoy something and enjoy it and give God glory, or we can enjoy it and obsess over it and to the point where it becomes our idol, it becomes our God, where if we don't have this thing, we're not satisfied. And so you don't want to fall off of the side of the ditch where you just say, well, I am not gonna dance, or I'm not gonna drink, or I'm not going to have sex, because those things can lead to sin, or you can sin in those things. But you have to recognize, like, these are things that God has given to us, and they are meant to be enjoyed in its proper context, in its proper place. So sex within marriage, or, drinking wine, alcohol without drunkenness, or even food without committing gluttony, dancing in a way that, whether it's with your spouse or with your kids, or maybe you're just having fun with your friends, in a way that that isn't drawing, or that isn't done in a sexualized, perverted way. So, but then obviously, with your spouse, go dance with your spouse. So starting off with beauty, we all crave it. Think about art. So art, the God made this beautiful artistic world, and everywhere we go, like, there's just, whether you look into the skies and see the heavens, like, the heavens are declaring the glory of God. I mean, just all the, wherever we're at, I mean, the things, the chair you're sitting in, the window you're looking out at, the car you're driving in, like, there, this is a immensely artistic, fantastical world that God's given us. And I mean, it should blow our minds. And yet, for a lot of the times, we just want to be numbed down by whatever's shiny, on our screen, on our phone. And I'm not saying, like, God's given us technology and He's given us a phone to enjoy. Like, this is a good gift from Him, but it's like, what do we do with it? And what's the motive, and where does it lead us? So there's art, there's literature. Think about literature. Just the thousands and thousands of books that have been made. I mean, we are story-driven people. We crave stories because we're in a story. We are all characters. And whether you like it or not, we're all artists. Whether you like it or not, we're all creators. We're sub-creators, as Tolkien would say, because Jesus is the ultimate creator. We get to image and model God by creating, and we have all these stories. Oh, and I was gonna say that in our, even just for people that maybe, oh, I don't have an artistic job, so I'm not really an artist or a creator. Well, you are writing your story every single day. No, yes, in a sense, yes, God's writing it, but what kind of character are you? Are we, what kind of attitude do you have? What kind of words are you speaking? What's your tone? What's the, how are you presenting yourself? How do you interact with people? How do you love people or not love people? Like, these are all, like, it's like, all right, here's the next chapter. You're the character. What kind of character are you going to be? And God's given us that responsibility, and that dominion to say, all right, this is who God's called me to be, and this is how I'm to live. And so, what a crazy privilege that we have, that we get to write our dialogue and just the things that we do every single day. Literature, though. I mean, we can travel the world just by reading books, and you can meet thousands of people, and you can just learn so much and get so many different perspectives. And I think that's just an amazing thing. And also, just literature can, if you find some good literature, obviously, is like, It can contain some deep, beautiful truths that will change you and affect you and affect how you live. And like, we need books like that. Music. Look at music. Man, I mean, who doesn't like music? Who doesn't like a good song? A song that moves them, that creates emotion. Think about, and you know, and then everybody's made differently. And so we have all these different types of genres, and like, God's given us all these different, I mean, think about all the different types of instruments and voices, and the even, and then just the variations between all of them and the different sounds. God didn't have to make this world this beautifully rich in music, and yet he did. And we get to listen to it, but we also get to partake in it, whether we sing or play, or maybe we aren't a good singer, but we can still enjoy listening to these pleasing sounds that God's given us. And it's incredible. And how about food? Food and sex are, I think, the two things that God's given us that we use all five senses. And when it comes to food, I mean, all the different flavor combinations, like how can you say there's not a God when there's like peanut butter and jelly? Like, think about like just the different combinations of certain foods together. Like, now how God could have just given us fuel or just said, hey, here's your slab of mush for the day. It's tasteless, odorless, colorless. Just eat it. It'll get you, give you energy. No, he gave us so many things to enjoy when it comes to food. And then the fact that we can like learn how to create food and different combinations with something that's salty or fatty or sweet or sour, you know, with acid or not. And there's just all these complexities that God's given us. And even just the this last weekend, I tried attempting to make like a caramelized whipped butter. Annie and I, we on one of our anniversary trips, we went to Winnipeg and ate at this tapas, I want to say. Is that the correct term? This Spanish restaurant, which was one of our favorite restaurants we've ever been to. Really expensive, but man, was it worth it. And we spent, you know, a few hours there, and they would just come up with these tiny plates. I don't know how many courses it was, but you know, and you just share whatever's being brought out to you. And anyway, they had some kind of whipped butter, and I don't remember what it was. I just remember being, wow, this is amazing. The texture, the fluffiness, and the airiness of the butter was it, and just the way it melted in your mouth and on the bread, it was sublime. And so I tried to recreate it, and essentially what you do is you just put butter in a medium hot pan, brown it down, and then try not to burn it because it can go from brown to black very quickly. And you basically dump it in a bowl of that's surrounded by another bowl and ice, and you just start whisking and you whip it. Anyway, it gets this really hazelnutty flavor, which is, just blows my mind. Like, why is there this what different flavor? You have butter, and here's the butter's flavor, but then you heat it up and it turns color, and then all of a sudden it changes the like the taste changes just by some heat and a color change. And so it's crazy how it works. And it wasn't maybe my cup of tea as far as just making this brown butter was maybe a little bit too nutty for me. But my wife made some it was a croissant French toast the other day, with It was a brown butter mixed in with maple syrup, and it was one of the probably the best French toast recipes that I've ever had. I mean, it was like the brown butter and the maple syrup was like a caramel. It was like putting caramel on your flaky, soft, chewy croissant. That was this French in a form of French toast, and it was amazing. Anyway, food. We could talk a lot about food. But it's just something like God's given us, and we can enjoy it, and it's and give him thanks for it. And so, sex. I don't really need to say much about this. You guys get it. If you're married, like, have sex and enjoy it, and enjoy it for God's glory. And when I think about it, like, if sex is this pleasurable, like, how pleasurable must God be? Like, he's the one that created it. He's the one that made it. And so, like, how incredible and amazing must God be? And so, something to think about. Animals. Look at all the animals that God has, like, filled this earth with. And we get to enjoy watching them, taming them, hunting them, eating them, enjoying just how funny some can be, or even how scary some can look. And if you guys ever want a good show, like, go watch Planet Earth. Now, granted, David Attenborough, who narrates it, is great, but I do have to say the message is awful, because I think a lot of these creation documentaries are basically saying man is awful and is basically like a plague. It's like we're just making the world worse. But animals, they're pretty great, and so it's this whole Romans where it's like we worship the creation rather than the creator, and it's pretty messed up. That aside, the visual imagery and just looking at how God, just all of the beautiful things that God has made in the world, planet Earth, and some of those, like, frozen, no, pl not fro plant frozen planet, and there's another one, BBC Life. There's a lot out there, but actually, when I've been depressed and low, these are actually a really good help in just getting my mind off of myself and just looking at, like, look at the world around you. Even think about Job. I mean, look at the horrific things that Job went through, and, like, what did God do when he showed up in the tornado in the whirlwind? God starts talking about animals and life and just the things that he's made. And so I really think that part of the antidote, part of the to yeah, the part of the antidote to help people when they're down and depressed is to say, hey, look at God's handiwork. Look at, like, the goodness and the power and the majesty of God and how he's made the world and how he's made animals, and, like, who can say, why have you made me like this, or why have you made, it's and so you get to a point where, like, you just have to cover your mouth and, like Job, just say, like, and just be in awe of God. And so, movies, same thing with books. I know they're a little bit different, but when you can find some really well-told stories through movies, it's a great way to enjoy something as a family and then be able to dialogue about it, to be able to talk about it, what's good, what's true, what's beautiful, what's ugly. And 'cause when it comes to stories, like, we're going to want to emulate or just be the characters that we admire and enjoy. Think about And then this isn't just, for kids growing up, even as adults, like we want to imitate people that we like, or whether it's, oh, I like this style of clothing, or whether it's this type of superhero, I want to be like them. And we do that as a young age. We're imitative creatures. We do this all the time. And so movies are great for trying to find those characters. And I think they might be a little bit tricky, as more difficult as far as when it comes to like books. But if you can find some really good films or even TV shows, that can be a big blessing to your life. And I have to say, Annie and I are on season 8 of The Office, and this is probably like our third time through as a couple. And I just feel like keeps getting better and better. And maybe it's just because with everything going on in the world, it is so refreshing to hear people just make fun of things, and they like have comedy that isn't being censored or canceled, and being able to like just make fun of things, because we are in a funny world and we are funny people. And anyway, and the characters are just built so well, and you learn to admire a lot of them and just see all their quirks and all, and just enjoy it. And so yeah, is every episode great? No, but as a whole, and there's some we've had some fun and enjoyable times just as a married couple, just to sit down and enjoy each other, enjoy how like these this excellent writing, and enjoy something that's funny, which is really hard to find nowadays. Think about dance. God's given us dancing. David danced before the Lord. The Psalms talk about dancing before the Lord. And I don't necessarily know what, maybe we Midwestern Norwegian people probably don't like to dance much in front of other people, so I get that. But I think it is a good thing to think about, and a good challenge of like, maybe I should dance more. Maybe, and just as a way of God, you gave us bodies to move and to do a lot of things. And so when you can dance to music, man, my daughter loves to dance, and so we've been doing some slow dances and some fun dances and some crazy dances, and she just loves it. And I think it's just one way that we can enjoy our kids, but also just like do something physical and active together, and do it in a way that glorifies Jesus. And so I couldn't come up with a word for these things, but when you think about like crafts or craftsmen who make like just wood things, or leather or wool, candles, things with textures, just the elements that God's given us just in his creation is so fun, that we can just take things out of the world and then form them into beautiful things, whether it's an instrument made out of, two different types of wood, and just the craftsmanship and the skill, the design that goes into it from someone working with, wood, building, just architecture, leather, when it comes to whether it's like a bag or a Bible or a belt or even shoes. Like, there are these small details. God cares about the small details, and we can appreciate them and enjoy them and give God thanks for those. Sports. We are in a big sports. I guess every state's got their favorite sports, I guess. But I'm not super big into sports, but man, it's something that, like, look at like how many people enjoy watching a bunch of men tackle each other, in tights and helmets. and like we pay money to go see people do this. Like how funny that is. And yet at the same time, like there's a lot of level of skill, a lot of level of expertise and physical stamina and just the, you know, what it takes to be an athlete. We admire people like that because it's we want to see humans, we want to see humans at their full potential. And really, I think we're just all craving for the resurrection. We're just craving for that when we'll have like perfect bodies and bodies that don't wear or break down and can just do incredible things. Think about even games, even board games, video games, and that could be a whole nother episode, but because I know with anything, if without limits, that it can have its detriment on people, and so, but in its proper context, whether you're playing Smash Bros. With, you know, three other dudes, or whether you're, you know, playing Mario Kart, or even just board games with people, and like how much like our families have had so much fun and laughter. I mean, like crying laughter, playing games over a table. Like, why did God make games that do that? I mean, it just, and yet it's this way that we can reflect him, and a way that we can see that like he made us to be competitive, and he made us to have fun and to enjoy just the different things and the different I don't know, the different games that God's given us. So and then I could just go into, you know, wife, just having a spouse, and how amazing and incredible that is. You know, especially just a spouse that loves the Lord and who is your helpmate, who's on the same team, your best friend. Life is pretty incredible when you get to do it with your best friend. And then when you're able to have, you know, children, like what a joy and what a blessing they are too. And even with kids, like you almost like get to live your childhood back again, which is pretty incredible. And so just being able to do the things that you did when you were little, and to show them the things that you enjoyed when you were their age, and then being able to teach them, being able to shape and form them into men and women that fear the Lord, that love Jesus. Like, what an amazing opportunity that God's given us. And then obviously, like Jesus is the one that's given us all of these things to reflect him, to show that, you know, like we weren't made for these things, and yet he's given us a lot of these things as tools, as ways. Like he wants to communicate himself to us, and so he's filled this world with music, art, and food, and sex, and animals, and stories, and dance, and crafts, and games, as a way to show, look at this amazing God we get to worship and enjoy. Like we were made for him. And so all of these things are meant to point us to him so that we can enjoy him. And we can enjoy them in just the common, everyday things. And we can enjoy Jesus as well as on a Sunday and in a small group or wherever. Like Jesus is worthy of all of our worship all the time. And I think the more that we can get to that place where really all of life becomes an act of worship, like that's what we want. We don't want to just separate the sacred and the secular. Like, all of life should be sacred. All of life should be worship. And this is something that, will be a lifelong journey and adventure for all of us. Is, hopefully that as we, like, Lord willing, as we're being sanctified, that sin, that we hate our sin more and more, and that holiness becomes just more of who we are as we have Christ's righteousness, and we can enjoy Him in every area of life. As Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. And so I will leave you guys at that. I've already gone a little bit long. And I mean, we could talk about probably so many more things, but these are just some things that I thought of, that just some things that we just experience on a weekly basis, daily basis, things that we can fight for joy and fight for seeing God in these things. And if anything, a reminder for myself and a reminder for you guys listening, that we weren't made for these things, but we were made for God, who's given us all things to enjoy, for His glory, and so that we could be satisfied in Him. Thanks for listening. If you guys have questions, have comments, have a disagreement with me, feel free to email me at ben@bennash.co. Talk to you guys later. Bye.